You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassius for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. We're at the Matrim Gym here in Stapleford Abbott. I'm joined by Connor Ben. Just finished your training and sparring session. All good?
Yeah, mate. Just done some quality rounds. Two sparring partners got 10 rounds out. So, yeah, mate. Just going through this stage camp, but I'm feeling sharp, mate. Like, I mean, what I didn't realise is last camp, obviously, it was a long camp and training as hard as I do. It was definitely took it out. I mean, and obviously having COVID, moving house, it was all just so stressful. And it's just funny how everything seems to just fall into place when it does. And yeah, I'm just so focused on my training, mate. And everything else is allowing me to, my team, down from, you know, advisors, agents, Tony, Eddie, my wife. They all help me, just allow me to focus on my fighting. And that's how I really feel this camp. So I'm feeling really blessed, mate.
It seems like the last 12 months have been a really kind of crucial stage, not just for your career, but in your life in general. Obviously, the birth of your first son, you just said, obviously, you've moved house recently. You've had kind of these important fights in your next progression of your career. It just seems like that last 12 months has been really kind of crucial in your whole life.
Yeah, the 12 months has been obviously just crazy. Obviously, I'm here on my own. So I ain't here with my family. So I'm, you know, I feel like I'm doing a lot, unfortunately, without my parents, because it'd be nice for them to be here. Obviously, it's nice my dad being here now and seeing the fruits of my labour and just the life I've built. And yeah, it's hard sometimes, man. Obviously, like my house, not just buying a house, doing a house and doing a whole renovation. Things going wrong, things adding up. They tell you it's 5 times the price of what it is the dub house. They're lying, it's a lot more. Do you know what I mean? It adds up. And my builder just had my business card, so it was like boom, boom, boom. Every day I'm seeing it going, oh gosh, thinking, what have I done here? And then obviously that's stressful when you've just got a newborn baby, changing all the bills over and all. Yeah, it's just all these things, but it's now such a blessing. Now I sit down and now it's all finished. I sit down and go, wow, how beautiful my life is. From my home that I built, from my wife, my baby. A lot's had to change from my end and a lot has changed. And yeah, Eli's just such a joke how much you just love him. You know, when they get to like the stage they're at now, like 10 months, it's incredible. I make sure I rush in and get home before he goes to sleep, or as soon as I get in, I'll see if he's in. It's yeah, it's just something special about this age.
You mentioned there about kind of being away from your family, obviously aside from your immediate family at the moment is in your wife and child, but it must have or be a boost for you just to have your dad around at the moment as well.
Oh yeah, having my dad around, it's crazy, mate, how much we are alike. Forget boxing, just like how much we're alike and things we say, our mannerisms, what we do. Victoria's like, oh, I cannot suffer this, because we're just so alike. Got my boy dog, boy son, my dad, myself. She's definitely outnumbered in the household. But yeah, driving her mad, both of us. But having my dad here is such a blessing, just him just being my dad. Not even like anything to do with training, or it's just a blessing just being with my family. You know, it's so nice, it's so warming to have him here.
Okay, let's talk business. Obviously, we knew that your fight date was always going to be the 11th of December in Liverpool, headlining that card with Katie Taylor. Your opponent now has been confirmed as Chris Algieri. Algieri is someone that you and also Eddie Hearn's mentioned over the last sort of few weeks, so it wasn't really a surprise when that was announced as your opponent for December the 11th.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're trying for a few names. There was a list of 5 people that we tried to make. Most of them couldn't happen. Our jury wasn't supposed to happen. Obviously, that's been in negotiations now for 3-4 weeks. So, he ain't had short notice, by the way. It's been negotiated for quite a while. So, just to clear that up. And he wanted it originally at 10 stone 3. and wanted it next year around March time. So we've done well with getting Chris Algieri in. He's a former world champion, lost to the very best, the only the best. I mean, Manny Pacquiao, Errol Spence and Amir Khan. So, and Errol Spence is the only person to stop him. So it's going to be a tough night's work, but it's the fighting game and, you know, I'm leveling up every single time. So he's a very credible opponent and he will draw things out of me that I need to work on and then also show things that I've improved on. So it's all learning. These fights are just about learning, growing and evolving.
I saw you post on your Instagram the other day. You put the records, I think, of Boots Ennis and Errol Spence after 20 fights and putting the record of their opponent after there. Was there a specific reason why you felt like you had to post their records after 20 fights?
Just because I'm in the spotlight. I've got a microscope overlooking me and my career and what I do. But then when you have other fighters like Ennis, whose 20th fight was the guy I put up, I think lost half his fights. Same as Avanesian, lost half his fights. So when, is it Carl Greaves or Neil Marsh? Want to talk, I ain't playing your game, mate. Like, I don't care what you say or think. It ain't about conning the public. You know, how old was Avanesian when he had his 20th fight? And then who did he fight? Think I'm going to, you don't dictate my career. No one dictates my career. No one tells me what I've got to do. You know, it was all fine when they want to turn down final eliminators with Rashidi Ellis for a world title to fight a Liam Taylor and then sign with Warren to call me out. I see it. So don't say it con in the public. I don't need to fight Avanesian. I don't need to for nothing. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather fight for a world title. I would have fight for a world title all day long, every single day of the week. But I'm not playing your game when you, because we all know what it is. It's just a money grab. That's all it is. If you had world title ambitions, you would go and fight for a world title. And I don't blame Marsh or Greaves for wanting to get Avanesian money. That's what the managers, promoters' jobs are to do. But I don't think come out of all that bollocks. Do you know what I mean? Of, oh, this and that. Like, I'm not 33. I've got plenty of time. I'm at the tail end of my career. I ain't going to do you no favours. Do you know what I mean? And then Boots Ennis is 28th fight now. He just fought someone who had come off the back of 3 losses. So you got to remember, these are good amateurs. So then when you put me in there with the likes of Sebastian Formella, who only lost come to Sean Porter, then Adrian Granados, who people think beat Broner, had a tough fight with Robert Easter Jr., fought Danny Garcia, and then I'm dealing with them better than they did, then, you know, that's that. I ain't in no hurry, I ain't in no rush. Well, title pending, but I ain't rushing for nobody because you say this or that or I'm scared or not scared. It's completely irrelevant to me. And, you know, I'm secure enough in myself to know who I am and what I'm about. Do you know what I mean? So, and that's that.
Connor, I spoke to Eddie Hearn just yesterday about, obviously, your fight with Algieri, but also, yeah, Neil Marsh's comments about Matchroom Con in the public, etc., in regards to David Avanesian. Eddie Hearn himself has said that he's always made it clear that he feels like you need a fight and then Avanesian. So which suggests to me that Eddie Hearn doesn't quite think that that's the fight for you right now. You would disagree with that because you'd say you'd fight whoever on any given day. But he believes, as your promoter, that that fight is for you after this fight.
But that's fine because that's a promoter's job to worry. That's his job to worry, because he don't want it to get anything wrong. That's fine. I'm glad he feels that way. Avanesian's a hard fight. He's a very hard fight. I'm not saying he's an easy night's work. He's a hard night's work for absolutely anybody. But as far as it goes, I'd rather a Sean Porter. I'd rather a Ugas. I'd rather Avanesian for a world title. Do you know what I mean? I'm ranked higher than Avanesian in the WBC, IBF, WBA. So it's, well, I ain't got to play into no one's games. It's Eddie's job to be careful. That is his job. And that's fine. I'm glad he feels that way. But, you know, I'll fight any man. At the end of the day, I'm a fighter. And, you know, I see, what's his name? I don't know if it's Neil Marsh or Carl Greaves. One of them saying, oh, yeah, they're playing good cop, bad cop and all that. Conor wants to fight Eddie's team. I know how to not play into your games. It's all it is. It's all games. It's all rubbish, really, trying to make the most money for their fighters. At the end of the day, I'm in a very fortunate position, a very blessed position where I ain't got to fight him. You know, when you look at where the trajectory's at of each fighter, you put mine there and Avanesian's there, he ain't, where else is he going to go? Why is he so concerned about fighting me? Why does he so badly want to fight me if he wants a world title? It's a money grab. That's all it is. I don't need money. You know, Warren saying that, Neil, I can't remember, one of his team saying, oh, yeah, 500 grand, that's a lot of money. It's not really. I mean, it is, but it ain't for that sort of fight. Do you know what I mean? If it was for a world title, you know, it'd be worth double that, three times that. So, you know, that's where it's at. I ain't in no rush. I've got a good team. My team have got me to where I've got to. They've got me ranked in almost every governing body. They got me knocking on the door for a world title. So I ain't going to play into what he says, she says, or he or she says. At the end of the day, my team, my career's best interest at heart. And, you know, I'll fight whoever they put in front of me.
Is it a compliment to you, though, every time over the last four opponents that have been announced from Formella to Vargas to Granados and now to Algeria, that there are people always critical going, oh, why is he fighting him? He should be fighting him. But isn't that a compliment to you that they think that you should be fighting an Ennis or a Poulter or whoever?
Do you know what it really is? Like, when I read comments, they're going, yeah, Algeria's an easy night's work for him. Why is he fighting him for? I've gone, fucking call him, mate. Like, is that really what you... Same with the Formella, the Vargas, this. Formella, Vargas, Granados. Yeah, so I'm... So when you're talking from my, what, 16th? 16th fight, I'm fighting Formella. 17th, Vargas. 18th. No, so, yeah, 18th, Granados. 9th, or however it works out. You know, it's... That's good going. Do you know what I mean? So when they're going, yeah, Chris Algeria, what, you, it's easy night's work. I've gone, it ain't easy night's work, but I'm flattered that they think that. Because then it's all like a backhand compliment, but it don't really matter. You got to remember, at one stage, people thought I was ducking Joe Laws or ducking whoever it is. It's just boxing. People are going to say that. People are going to go, oh, yeah, you know, you're ducking this, or, yeah, you're scared of it. Oh.
It's difficult as well because your next jump from this level of opponent is that elite level, isn't it? The next jump you make will be that jump, and the gap is the gap. So these opponents at the moment, which we could all say a slight progression in terms of how difficult the fights are meant to be on paper. But I think your next jump after this is surely at some point, whenever that is at the top.
I can't even answer because at the end of the day, this could... You can't even talk about past Algeria. I just can't do it. After that pain on fight, I just can't even like... I look every fight like it's my last fight. And that's the way I think. It's the way I financially think. It's the way I emotionally think that this could be my last fight if I don't get this right. And if this messes up, everything comes tumbling down. So I've got to just focus on Algeria. I don't think about what's next. God willing, which I believe I will, obviously. Like, not with ease, but I know I will win. But that's just how I prepare. Is I don't look past him because I'm expecting the best Algeria. At the end of the day, people go, yeah, he's 37, he's this, he's that. That don't mean nothing, mate. That does not mean nothing. Look at Pacquiao when he fought Thurman. It means absolutely nothing. If you live the life, which I believe Algeria does, and you can tell he does, it don't matter. It's practically where it's 1 o'clock back 10 years.
Well, he's definitely going to think you were sizing up back then.
He definitely thinks I was sizing him up. Like, oh, a million percent thinks I was sizing him up. Because I was asking him loads of questions. I was like, oh yeah, so add you made a weight, blah, blah, blah. Just, it was never an opponent ever mentioned. And I even went to him, oh, how's retirement? That's what I even said to him. So it was like, we just had a good chat. He was talking about commentary and it's just funny because I was really going on it about, oh yeah, add you made a weight, blah, blah, blah. And then he's, we're just chatting. And then obviously now we're fighting. It's funny. Okay, I've got a picture on my phone, which I might stick up in due course.
One of the gripes from social media, I'm just going to brand it as social media or certain parts of social media, was the fact that, or is the fact that Chris Algieri has predominantly been known as a light welterweight throughout his career.
What's the question
there? Well, it's a statement really, that's one of the things I just saw people saying, apart from, like, say, his age and how active Algeria's been, is the fact that he's been a light welterweight throughout the majority of his career.
Has he fought a welterweight? I believe so. Yeah, I think he fought. Well, he would have fought Errol Spence at welterweight. What these people keep doing, if he's good enough for Spence to fight, if Vargas is good enough for Khan and Virgil Ortiz to fight, if Formella is good enough for Sean Porter to fight, and I've done a better job than all of them, sure as hell good enough for me to fight, but they're not under the microscope like me. Which is fine. It is what it is. It comes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. It comes hand in hand. So if they're good enough for them to fight, they're good enough for me to fight. I remember a kid that was lucky to win an English title. Remember that kid? Yeah, that kid. So, I ain't got to listen to the public. You know, people going, oh, why is he not fighting Brook? Why is he not fighting Khan? All that. You evolve, you learn, the hard nights come. You have to have as many learning fights as you can. You have to have them learning fights. Because that's how you evolve, that's how you grow. There's so much more, so many tricks to the trade. It doesn't just come overnight. Dad, do you remember who your first 22 opponents were, apart from Anthony Logan?
I know
you remember them, but you see,
everyone I knocked out as well. I know what punch I knocked him out with.
Yeah. So no, what I'm saying is because, like, see, today we're under the microscope as fighters. You know, like my 16th fight for Miller, 16th, 22-1. He was just lost Sean Porter.
Yeah.
Vargas, Granados, now Algeria. This is my 19th fight. So whereas you, back in the day, were able to have as many learning fights as you did. Your first 22 fights were like just getting it, weren't they?
I know you
banged them out, but they were all like, you were able to learn. They didn't have the greatest records, but it allowed you to prepare for the Eubankses, the McClellans, the Collins, the Doug DeWitt, the Barkley. The hard nights come. So what I'm trying to say is you had learning fights. Well, you didn't learn because you banged them out. Yeah.
Like learning fight that I actually had with Michael Watson. That's when I kind of went home. Then I went to America and sorted myself out. Then you start stepping up. Then you start saying, okay, right. Now I got to learn my trade. I never learned my trade. I was always in first gear. How you train is completely different than how I train.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I couldn't get away with fighting 22 oppositions now.
Yeah, but some of them 22 oppositions were still like, they weren't, I mean, some of them were Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
They were, some of them were good fighters, but I just banged them out.
Yeah, so there was no...
So, you know, it was just like my power that got me through some of these fights. And that's what happened. Some of them were like, you know, went the distance with like Roy Jones. But because I just had the power to knock them out. But I never learned nothing. I never learned, and how you lot are learning, you're learning your trade. Tony told you what to do, and then what you do, you sit down and say, right, now go and practice that.
Yeah.
I never had that. Cool knowledge. It was like four, crash, bang, wallop. You know, I never really learned that, how you're learning. Now, watching you move up the ladder, you're at a stage now where you're just right there.
On cusp, yeah.
Yeah, you're just on the cusp. You're just fighting. Who do you just fight?
Granados, Vargas, Formella.
Yeah. So now you're fighting.
And it's not just it's not just beating them. It's how I look beating them, which is good. Which I'm beating them with ease.
Okay, you two really should have your own show. Right, listen, I'm going to let you crack on. Good to see your fight date and also the opponent has now been confirmed. Liverpool. You're a big Liverpool fan, not as in like football wise. I'm talking about the city wise. Yeah. You're a big lover of Liverpool.
Oh, mate, Liverpool. Every time I've been down there, when I thought, obviously when I see Khan and Vargas fight down there, that was unbelievable. Then obviously I went down there for Smith Fowler, and they just get behind their fighters, don't they? They just get behind boxing, and they, you know, they're loyal supporters to the core. So I'm just very excited and blessed to be headlining Liverpool. Honestly, I reckon it's gonna be absolutely phenomenal. And tickets gone unbelievable as well. So I'm like, when people keep messaging me saying, oh yeah, all the ringsides are gone, and within that day, I'm just overwhelmed and just grateful for all the support everyone's been showing me.
All right, December the 11th, we'll roll around very soon. Conor Benn, thank you very much for giving us some of your time as always, and we'll definitely catch up with you ahead of December the 11th, live on DAZN.
Wicked.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.